Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave, good morning. Happy game day.
Happy game day. Go Bills.
Go Bills, indeed. Now, before we get into the serious stuff, you're 1-0 at the stadium this year, correct?
I am 1-0. Was there for the Saints. Had a ribald good time, and it was beautiful to be in the old barn and see the Bills pull it out, even if they gave us a little bit of fits and headaches all throughout. We got the W. That's what counts.
Oklahoma and South Carolina fans are wondering who that quarterback was. They go, this isn't the guy that wore the Spencer Rattler jersey when he played here. Will you be in town for the Kansas City game?
I will not, but as a proud new season ticket holder, again, after having had season tickets when I was a kid, got them this year, and so I get back or will get back as often as I possibly can. Obviously, commuting from Washington, D.C. is not the same as commuting from North Buffalo or Tonawanda or Cheektowaga, but, they have planes, they have trains, they have automobiles.
They sure do. That is dedication, my friend. Let's start. Speaking of dedication, let's start at the Capitol, where this week we saw the government shut down. And Dave, you know, you hear the talking points from both sides. You're right there. You're in the thick of this. How did we get to a government shutdown?
It's always a $64,000 question. Every time we face down the possibility of a government shutdown, which seems to happen just about every year, or in the case of 2025, Joe, multiple times this year. So how did we get here? Well, the Republicans and the Democrats would give you two very, very different answers on that question. The answer I will give you is that both sides are just so far apart when it comes to priorities and are also facing different kinds of pressures. The bottom line with funding the government is that Congress ultimately has the power of the purse in terms of funding government agencies, so whether that's the Department of Defense or the Department of Transportation or the various different agencies that do lots of things that we don't think of on a daily basis but are quite essential, and we realize that they're quite essential when they suddenly go away or their workforce is staying home and furloughed and not earning a paycheck, that can be a major, major problem the longer and longer a government shutdown takes place. And so Congress doesn't appropriate the money, the government shuts down. And really what this was, at least in this time, was so much focused on or hinged on healthcare. Democrats are wildly concerned about what's going to happen if some semi-related, but not directly related, healthcare funding priorities just simply go away, and that they need Congress also to pass them so that people can get health benefits and get health insurance benefits from the government and be able to go to doctors and be able to get their checkups and their medications and their medicines. And unless Congress acts, then that could just simply stop, and you could have millions and millions of people losing those benefits. Do you need those benefits in order to keep the government open? No. And that's what Republicans have been arguing, is like, hey, we're willing to fund the government. We are going to pass, or we are willing to pass, what's called a clean continuing resolution, which means keep funding levels right at the same place that they were, try to figure it out longer term, but in the meantime, keep government open. And Democrats were not willing to go along with it because they considered those healthcare priorities to be so paramount and so key that they weren't willing to risk them going away, and were willing to have a government shutdown in an effort to get them going. So here we are.
Is this not the parties taking completely different sides from the last time we had a shutdown?
you got to roll the tape with this and remember what Republicans and Democrats were both saying 6 months ago or around thereabout. And it sounded like a very, very different situation because it was. And you had somebody like Chuck Schumer ultimately arguing against a government shutdown because he felt that the pain would be too great and the cuts would be too deep if the government shut down. Now, politics have changed in the last 6 months. A lot has happened. Much of that centers around decisions made by the Trump administration. And as a result, Democrats are feeling incredible heat, especially from their far, far left wing of the party that basically feels that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and other Democratic leaders have completely rolled over, that they have become the wet noodle leadership of the Democratic Party, and that they needed to stand firm and they needed to fight. And they also, too, are reading poll numbers. The Pew Polling Center came out with a study just a couple of days ago that indicated that among Democrats, I'm not talking Republicans here, Joe, I'm not talking about all Americans, but among Democrats, Democratic leadership was underwater 60% to 40% in terms of its popularity. So when most Democrats don't like the work that you're doing, you got a problem if you're Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries. And they realize that, they understand that. And that is absolutely informing the decision that they made to be in the government shutdown situation in the past week that we find ourselves in as a country.
Now, Republicans want to continue this thing going on. You've got the Democrats who are pointing to the few things. You mentioned Chuck Schumer, and you mentioned how things have changed in 6 months. Is that pressure on Chuck Schumer, I mean, is that 100% AOC in that primary bid? Or the potential primary bid? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's a potential primary bid at this point, but absolutely, he's feeling the pressure. Now, this is not all about him. only a true cynic would be like, this is just all about Chuck Schumer. But it is partially about Chuck Schumer for Chuck Schumer, and it's about reflecting the priorities of his party. And if he's somebody who is being viewed by his own party members as out of touch and that his leadership is no longer legitimate in the eyes of his own folks, then that's kind of the kiss of political death. And it very much is opening the door to an internal challenge. You know, Chuck Schumer's never going to get beat by a Republican in New York State, but could he get beat by a Democrat in a primary? It's not the craziest thing. And it's happened before, too. So especially given the New York City mayoral race and the appetite that some Democrats have for farther to the left leadership, anything can really happen in 2026 because our overall political situation here in Washington, D.C. and at the national level, but also too at the state level, is just so turbulent and so tumultuous that you almost can't rule anything out, Joe.
Yeah, because if you look at the way AOC's career started, she ousted a longtime member of Congress, correct?
She did. And basically, her whole political career began on the idea of political insurgency and kick the bums out, that Democratic leadership or Democratic leaders or people who were holding office just weren't doing enough. And they were complacent and they were stayed and they needed to be shaken up and kicked out in some cases. And that's how she came to power. And that's why AOC is a thing. That's why we know AOC is an acronym. And Chuck Schumer knows that and he understands that and to a degree likely fears that and is reacting in a way commensurate to that threat.
Now, there have been proposed not resolutions, but proposed amendments that would say members of Congress do not get paid while the shutdown's going on. I'm guessing overall this is something that the members of Congress are against, bipartisan?
Mostly. They're saying, hey, we're still doing our work. Now, there are going to be some members who are going to voluntarily not take a paycheck, or they're going to donate their money in solidarity with the government workers, who many of whom are not receiving a paycheck. They may even still be working, but they're not getting paid. So that's the dichotomy there. But yeah, members of Congress, they generally earn $174,000 a year. The president still gets paid too, and that's just part of the shutdown mystery of how some people get money and others don't. But there are many, many federal workers, as I just mentioned, who are not getting paid. And you almost need a spreadsheet to determine which government agencies are still operating, which ones are sort of kind of operating, which ones are mostly shut down, and which ones are entirely shut down. One in particular I just want to bring up is air traffic controllers. Again, we don't really think about air traffic controllers all that much until something bad happens, like a plane crash, or you have a runway incursion, or an airport has to shut down because of some technological glitch, which we've seen in Newark, New Jersey, for example, this year on a couple of occasions. Well, the air traffic controllers show right now, because of the government shutdown, nothing more, nothing less, they are coming to work, they have to come to work, but they're not getting paid. So think about that for a moment. Your air traffic controllers who are trying to make sure that your planes are safe and that they're getting up in the air and down on the ground in a safe and timely fashion, they're coming to work and they're not getting paid to do it. So you got a lot of probably very grumpy air traffic controller workers who are...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who are all over the country, and is that the best situation for air traffic safety? Well, I think a reasonable person will say no. So regardless of where you land on who caused the shutdown or who's at fault or where the blame should lie, the cold hard reality is it's not an ideal situation, to grossly understate the case.
So Dave, looking throughout throughout D.C., you know, this is where the spotlight has been. I can't turn on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, our news at the top and the bottom without a spotlight on the shutdown. So what is going on behind the scenes with everyone focused on the shutdown? What's going on that people might want to know about?
Well, how it's going to affect them. Let's look inwardly for a second. And how is this going to affect you sitting at home in the Buffalo area or anywhere else in this country? And the answer to that is it's highly dependent on what you need from the federal government. So, for example, if you are a military veteran, you're likely going to still get all of the services or most of the services that you depend on, but your regional VA office might get closed. If you are, you know, needing the services of a VA cemetery, those are likely shut off. I mentioned air traffic controllers, but also too, more broadly, the Department of Transportation, they're not hiring anyone right now to fill jobs that they might need filled. So that's a problem. Social Security, if you're on Social Security, you're probably still going to get your benefits just fine for the time being, but there are Social Security workers who are going to absolutely be furloughed and have been furloughed. So your benefits, there is a possibility, especially the longer and longer that the shutdown lasts, for those benefits to be delayed. There's really no telling at this point. If you care about open government and access to information, most government agencies are not processing Freedom of Information Act requests, which is a tool that I, as a journalist, use frequently, but so do lawyers and just everyday Americans, to get information of all sorts from the government, which they are entitled to by law, unless you have a government shutdown and there's nobody to process those requests. And then the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, well, they're mostly continuing their food safety initiatives and drug safety initiatives, but not all. And they're going to have tens of thousands of workers out of work. So that's a problem. The list goes on and on. One, I think, that really, really hits home, and whether you get this benefit or not, there is the question of whether women and infants who rely on the women and infants food program, supplemental food program, are going to lose their benefits as a result of this. That is not happening just yet, but it possibly could run out of money. Same thing for people who rely on the supplemental nutrition program, commonly known as food stamps. That too could be a problem. So the most vulnerable Americans, the people who have the least among us, could be profoundly affected by there being no money to go around. And then national parks too. They're mostly open, sort of, kind of, but also too, they might not have emergency services. So almost like, hey, show up at the national park, but do so at your own risk. And if you get attacked by a bear or fall off a cliff, then it might be a while before anyone comes and gets you. I say with a very, very gallows humor laugh there.
Now, the president also talking about layoffs that would be permanent even when the shutdown is finally over, right?
Yeah, and this is a whole new twist to government shutdowns. Donald Trump has made it very clear that he would like to not just make some of these furloughs, but layoffs and cuts, very much in the spirit of what we saw with DOGE earlier this year. And what's been happening with many government agencies that Donald Trump considers to be expendable or too woke or too bloated or too expensive. And when you add that all up, it is coming to a head right now in the most legal of ways, because there have been already court challenges to, in essence, the question of, is Donald Trump abusing his executive power? Does he have the ability to cut jobs and cut the workforce in the midst of a government shutdown when people are already being furloughed and not receiving their pay? So that is going to be a theme the longer and longer this goes, of where does Donald Trump's ability to take that kind of action end? And that's likely a matter for courts to answer. And it's very difficult to game out at this point.
Dave, you know, as all this is going on, you look from the outside and you go, man, you know what? I'd love to run for political office. I can't imagine too many people are doing that. But former policyholder or policymakers are. Jeff Flake is eyeing a comeback. How would that work for someone that I can't imagine would be welcomed back into the Republican Party?
Yeah, a name probably most people have not heard in a while is a former U.S. senator, and before that, a U.S. House representative from the state of Arizona. He made a huge splash in 2017 when he decided not to run for re-election to the U.S. Senate, basically saying that Republicans had lost their way, and that Donald Trump was a threat to the country, and that the idea of the Reagan Republican was no longer in the age of Donald Trump. So he's a Republican. He remains a Republican. But he was one who was sort of a major anti-Trump Republican back when it was not necessarily all that common in the early days of Donald Trump's first administration, when most everyone kind of got behind Donald Trump on the Republican Party side. So I'm writing in Notice, the news organization here in D.C. that I do some work for. Was able to break a story showing that he is definitely leaving his options open, as he told election regulators who were questioning him on why he still had more than $800,000 sitting in his old U.S. Senate campaign account. And in, I paraphrase here, in a letter back to them, basically said, leaving my options open, haven't made a decision yet, but I'm not going to do anything with this money in the meantime, because I might not want to use it for a rainy day, but for running for election again to some office. What that office would be, Senate, House, even the presidency, he didn't make clear.
Well, we'll have to keep our eyes open for that, Dave. You know, this is a story that broke on Friday. We're recording this on Friday. And you've worked in, you know, you're in the media. You're in the media down there in Washington. I want to get your reaction to this. The Buffalo News has announced that they will no longer print their Monday edition. What do you think of that? And is that following a trend we're seeing throughout the country?
It is absolutely following a trend, and a trend that seems to be accelerating with newspapers across the country. let's remember that the Buffalo News already is not published in Buffalo any longer. It's published in Cleveland. So the print editions of the Buffalo News being, in essence, trucked hours to Buffalo to be delivered. Although I would say that they were able to get there at 5 a.m. when I was catching my flight out of Buffalo last week and was able to pick up a Buffalo News and read about the Bills. So that was good. But the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the main newspaper in Atlanta, they earlier this year decided that they would stop and cease their print edition altogether and no longer have a print edition, period, end of story. Everything going to digital. So for anyone who is still a reader of a physical newspaper, I would count myself among them, and who likes waking up and getting their paper on their doorstep and having it with their breakfast and coffee, you have to wonder whether those days are numbered at this point, or there will only be a handful of options across the country at some time in the future, where it might be still the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or maybe USA Today, but you can't even get your local newspaper 7 days a week. And there are definitely other large cities, including those in New Jersey and California. Syracuse, the Post Standard, is down to just a couple of days a week, just down I-90, and this is absolutely a reflection of where the news environment is for print news. Increasingly, it's just going digital as opposed to physical.
Dave, always great catching up with you, and hopefully next time we're talking, we will. Next time you're on the station, you'll be talking about a win with Susan and Brian, Tuesday, 6:50, every Tuesday morning, and I know you and I will catch up again real soon.
Absolutely, and I look forward to it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.